In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The text for our meditation today is taken from Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. You, my brothers, have been called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge your first sinful nature. Rather serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring one another, watch out, or you will be destroyed by one another. This is our text. Several weeks ago, our nation celebrated Liberty Week, or Liberty Weekend. The Statue of Liberty was rededicated to its task of holding forth the Flame of Liberty in New York Harbor. Perhaps some of you had the pleasure, the joy of contributing somewhat to its restoration. I recall as a young lad in New York being brought out to what was then called Bedloe's Island. I really don't know when they changed it to Liberty Island. And then with the class climbing up to the top and then looking out at the forehead of that great lady and looking across to the skyline of New York City and seeing also Ellis Island in the distance where so many immigrants landed, including my forefathers who came last century from Germany. In our text today, we have described for us a greater liberty, a freedom from a bondage more terrible than any political oppression our forefathers endured while in Europe. So think with me today, not about the Statue of Liberty, but about the statutes of liberty which are expressed in our text. Statute number one, first of all, we are free to live in Jesus Christ. You, my brothers, have been called to be free from sin. This same epistle to the Galatians tells us that Christ has permitted himself to be taken and to suffer for sin, that he might deliver us, chapter 1, verse 4, from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, free from sin, free also from the bondage to the law. The law which always accuses us, let tempter accuse us. The law which always condemns us, always rebukes us, always curses us, always sentences us to death. In chapter 3, verse 13, St. Paul tells us, Christ has redeemed us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, under the law with its tenfold lash. Finding a lash, I see that the more I tried, the sooner I died. Well, that law cried, you. Hopelessly stirred with a battle rage. O wretched man, my cry, while salvation sought by some penance bore, while my soul cried, then came a day when my struggle ceased, and trembling at every limb, at the foot of a tree, where one died, where me, I saw God. Free to live, free from sin, free from the bondage to the law, through him, our Lord Jesus Christ, free to live. But our text tells us, not only are we free to live, but also free in Christ to serve. Do not use your freedom, he goes on to say, to indulge your lower nature, but serve one another in love. Serve one another. The Christian is one who does not say, what can I do you for? What can I get out of you? How can I use you to climb the ladder? But rather, what can I do for you? Serve one another, more literally, be enslaved to one another. Paul has finished warning us of one kind of slavery to the law, which always leads to death. And then he urges upon another slavery, which leads to real fulfillment in life, the slavery of love to one another. Have the Lord need servants? How differently we would ask toward one another if we were enslaved to one another? The Wilhelm Eeyore put it this way, what do I want? What do I really want in life? I want to serve. And whom do I want to serve? I want to serve my Lord in the person of his poor, struggling, and suffering people. And what is my reward? I serve neither for reward nor thanks, but out of gratitude and love. My reward is that I am committed to serve. My reward is that I'm committed to serve the one who served me even unto death. That, my dear brother, sister, is a servant indeed. Free to live, free to serve, and finally free to love. Verse 14, the entire law is summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on fighting and devouring one another, watch out, you will be destroyed by one another. You see here both a warning and an appeal in this final statute. And a statute, of course, is something which is fixed and established, not necessarily a law, but could be a law. Something that's fixed, something that's established. A warning and an appeal. The warning, don't fight. Devour one another, just to be destroyed by each other. A.T. Robertson tells us that these three words suggest wild animals engaged in deadly combat. Paul? Wild animals engaged in deadly combat and destroy. In a seminary family? God help us if it is so. But the appeal that love one another, your neighbor, yesterday in the gospel lesson, we noticed who our neighbor is. Love your neighbor as yourself. Our neighbor is he who needs me, no matter who he is. Love that person. Why are we so frequently urged to love by the Holy Spirit? To love one another, to love Christ, to love God, to love even those who despitefully use or abuse us. Let me submit to you that we are urged to love because when we love, we are at that precise moment most like God. For God so loved the world that it commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Behold what manner, what a fine kind of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. No matter who we are, no matter what we've done, God's only desire for you and for me is that which results in our highest good. Look at the cross and you will see the meaning of our highest good. And that, in essence, is what Christian love is all about as well. No matter what any person does to me, the Christian says, I will never seek to do harm to him. I will never set out for revenge. I'll get you someday. Never, never. I will always seek nothing but his highest good. That is Christian, that is Christ in his love. And it's not just simply a wave of emotion that comes over me when I'm in the house of the Lord at the altar, or perhaps at a chapel service at Concordia Seminary. But it's a deliberate conviction of my mind issuing in a deliberate policy of my life. It is a dynamic achievement of the presence of Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, in one's life, which flows out of, because of, the church. So not the statue of liberty, but the statue of liberty we think of today. Freed in Christ, to live, to serve, to love. John Ashton, my favorite poet, put it this way. Learn the road to love, turned on it. Start the life to love his planet. Start the life along the road to love him, to share the load. The detective love transfigures all the road and all its rigors. Life and death love touch transfigures. Life and death and all that lies in between love sanctifies. Once the heavenly spark is lighted, once to Christ, our hearts united, nevermore shall aught but rise, be as before. Our lives can never be quite the same again, once His love, Calvary love, has captured our hands. The love of Christ confirms us, St. Paul says, to live, to serve, to love.